Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of the Gospel of Luke with this study titled Introducing Luke, covering Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. You may send questions and comments regarding this study or any other biblical topic, along with any prayer requests, to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send those by U.S. Postal, and if you'd like to contribute by check or money order, send those by addressing them to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen. You can also, if you're using our mobile site, just use the drop-down menu. And again, we do not solicit financial contributions, but this information is requested much of the time, and we provide this for your convenience. Now we begin our study titled Introducing Luke, Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is part 1 of 2. I love that. Yep. Speaking of righteous people, I'm on a mission. As part of my mission as a pastor, is to educate people on the fact that there is this movement in this country called liberals. And it ties into what we just saw with Tracy, because one of the reasons why they're having trouble getting foster parents is because you have to be pro-LGBT or they give you trouble. And if Tracy takes in a kid and he claims to be, you know, trans or homo or whatever, and she says anything biblical about it, then they try to take their license away. And that's why they won't say that on the news, but that's one of the reasons they're having trouble getting foster parents. And they've kicked some of them out of foster care, and they've also got private foster care agencies that they've cut off because they're Christian. And so that's part of what you need to pray about when it comes to foster care, and even Tracy, that she'll have wisdom in how to deal with that and that they'll leave her alone. Amen. And here's what happens if you cross the liberals. They'll seek to destroy your career and reputation if you don't goose-step with their Orwellian PC agenda. Just this past 2 or 3 days ago, some liberals up here in Delaware area tried to dox Amberlynn Choina. And Amberlynn, they don't come here because they live more than an hour and a half away, or about an hour and 15 minutes, but they've come here and actually had a dedication service for little Brielle when she's a baby and all that. And because Amberlynn's taking a strong stand against this sodomite indoctrination of our children, then they tried to go public and shame her. And she may lose some business over it. We'll have to wait and see. And these are national examples. This lady is Candace Owens. She can be a bit flowery with her language at times, so be warned. Sometimes her personal videos. But Facebook has now included her on what they call hate agents. Now, listen, folks, when a liberal uses the word hate, they're liars. Liberals lie. What they mean is she is not liberal. That's all it takes to be a hate or hater with a liberal. And I know some of you think that there are exceptions. They're not. Give it time. You have a liberal friend or relative or coworker or whatever. They'll show their true colors. And it's a cult. It's a political cult. It's no different than the Nazis. And the liberal news media, which includes some of the people at Fox. And Jenny and I sat there and watched, like, Sam Shepard, who's a sodomite. But also, they have this guy named Benson. He's a sodomite. They have this lady who was on Fox Business. They brought her over onto their show called The Five. And she was just all talking about how adorable Pete Buttigieg or whatever his name is. and his husband were, you know, and all that. And it's disgusting. And so even Fox News, you have to use discernment when you're watching any of it. But most news media are just anti-Christ, anti-American propaganda. That's all they are. They are the enemy of the true American people.
Amen.
And it's going to come, if the rapture doesn't happen, they're going to get you in trouble. Unless you compromise and sell out. If you take a stand for the Lord, you mark it down. A liberal is going to cause you trouble. And and they've already caused me trouble. Liberals have tried to get me off the radio. Liberals have, in the past, tried to get us kicked out of Sharon Hall. I don't know if liberals might have tried to get us kicked out of here. I don't know yet. They haven't told me. But liberals, like they did Amber Lynn, they'll try to get you fired. They'll try to get the neighbors going. This Gavin McGinnis, he's coming out with a new video. Paul Joseph Watson, he's coming out with a new video. And the cool thing is for conservatives to say, well, I'm not one of them. I am. I'm one of them. I don't agree with everything they say, but I'm one of them. And if you get in trouble, I'm one of you.
Amen.
I won't sell you out. And you need to get ready to stand with your loved ones and friends and Christian friends and loved ones who take a stand for the truth. Get ready now.
Amen.
Because that's what's going to take. Just look, just think about what you saw in our news media. This kid was trying, I don't care what anybody says, he wasn't smirking.
No, he's not.
He was standing there watching this nutbag, self-proclaimed Native American idiot in his face with a drum, and they're all screaming, and they got the Hebrew Israelites over there screaming even worse stuff. And this kid does the right thing and got crucified in the press by our idiot liberal news media. He just stood there like a good Christian should, and he's Catholic. And he stood there and just tried to be nice.
Yeah.
And just, what are you wanting to do?
Yeah.
Instead of going, he did what he's taught to do. Smile. And what do? Then you got a trans kid. A trans, and two of them, both of them are LGBT kids. Both openly Obama supporters, murder people, and the news media, as soon as they found out it was a trans, practically killed the story.
Yep.
You go do the numbers and how much time they spent on the red cap kid compared to the purple haired kid, you'll find out what your news media is about.
Amen.
They're a joke. And until the Lord takes me out of here, I'm going to make sure that you understand one time. You say, well, we get it, preacher. We get it. It doesn't matter. I've given up on Christians doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I think Paul said, if you do keep people in remembrance of these things, you're a good minister.
Amen.
So we just got to keep pounding it. And one thing's clear. Liberals cannot compete in the arena of ideas and free speech. Therefore, they are morphing into Nazis. Just in time for the big Nazi. They are of their father, the devil. That's right.
Amen.
And listen, I don't care who they are. If they think it's all right to chop a little baby up in the womb, you've got somebody with a satanic spirit about them.
Right.
And that's a liberal.
Amen.
There's no such thing as a pro-life liberal. I don't care what they say. There's some out there who claim to be Democrats or pro-life, and then when you talk to them, you find out they're just too stupid to leave that party. So that's what we're dealing with. And by the way, Psalm 1:1 still says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Amen.
And there's a lot of Christians who spend a lot of time online reading things written by ungodly people. That's why I defend these people, but I don't spend a lot of time listening to Candace Owen and Gavin McGinnis and these guys. I hear their stuff. Paul Joseph Watson, maybe once or twice a month, I'll watch one of his videos when it's on something that interests me. And I don't watch, what's his name, Milo and some of those guys. I don't watch them. But I believe they have the right to speak. And I want to let you know something. There's only one reason you've got freedom of speech and religion in this country, and it's because of the Baptists.
Amen.
I mean, if you don't believe that, you don't know history. So let's keep our eyes and ears peeled and take what you hear and talk to other people about it. Doesn't do any good if we keep it in the four walls we're in this morning.
Amen.
So let's open with prayer before we get into our Bible study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this place that we're still able to meet, and we are behind four walls so that we can have privacy and just freely sing these wonderful hymns, freely pray and the name of Jesus, and freely preach the Word of God, and then to go out from these four walls and face a wicked and hateful culture that we have today, that they hate Jesus Christ, they hate Your Word, and they hate God's people. And we, those of us who do speak out, we know it immediately. We're all, any of us, if we speak up, we're hit in the face with it. We still live in a country where they're not locking us up, and they're not that the Orwellian hate speech laws have not been approved in most places yet, but I do believe it's coming. Yeah. It won't be long before they're trying to lock us up, and if you tarry. And so we pray, Lord, that we'd be real, we'd not live in a cocoon, that we'd see what's going on around us, not be caught off guard like the German Christians were whenever they sat silent until it was too late. Lord, help us to be strong in our faith, and help us to love Your Word. Help us to want to learn Your Word. I thank You for these who are here this morning. I take for granted they're here because they love the Word of God first and foremost. And we just thank You for this time we spend in Your Word, and we pray for Your help as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to start the Gospel of Luke.
Amen.
Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Amen.
And this week we're going to have an introduction to the book and the person, Luke, in verses 1 through 4. So have your Bibles open, we'll get ready to read. Luke chapter 1. 1 through 4. If you get there, we're going to read it together. I don't know why she took her out. She's upset. She wanted to stay. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. If you're there, let's read all four verses. Read with me. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, we discussed in our close of our study of Colossians 4, we did a message on Luke and Demas. If you didn't see that, go back and watch it. I'm not going to rehash everything we talked about. But we did see that there's no biblical basis for claiming that Luke was a Gentile. How many of you heard that Luke was a Gentile? Have you heard that? Two of you? Okay. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. There you go. All right. There you go. Amen. It went from two to everybody but Dre. So, I mean, you know, I just wanted to make sure I was gauging the audience here. I thought you'd probably read or heard that somewhere, that Luke was a Gentile. And by the way, there's a great article on it by Thomas McCall on the Zola Levitt website. I believe is where I saw that. There's all these claims, and they base it on, I think, what Irenaeus might have said. We talked about that, as I said, in our previous study. And biblically, we are Bible Believers Fellowship. Amen?
Amen.
So biblically, what basis is there to say Luke was a Gentile, not a Jew? Biblically, I haven't found anything. And I've looked at other people's articles who claimed he was a Gentile, and they didn't say anything other than some things like the fact that he was a physician. So Jews can't be physicians? That makes no sense. If that, I mean, that might be what some people think. I don't know. But I've told the story how I worked for a man who was a physician, but he couldn't practice because of the anti-Semitism in America prior to World War II. So I know I know Jews can be physicians. But biblically, this is what we're told about the Bible itself in Romans 3, 1 and 2, which Brother Stephen actually referenced in our Sunday school time. It says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them, the Jew, were committed the oracles of God."
Amen.
That's this right here.
Amen.
God did not raise up a Gentile to write His book.
Amen.
And there's no basis in Bible or any real basis in history for teaching that.
Amen.
Now, why? It's not a... You say it's not a big deal. I think it is a big deal.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one of the reasons I think this is a big deal, because when you're sitting under someone who teaches things like that and they don't think critically and question what they've been taught, they're not being a Berean.
Amen.
And I need to be a Berean if I'm going to tell you to be a Berean. Amen?
Amen.
Truth is, a lot of preachers don't like having Bereans in the pews.
That's right.
They don't like it. Huh? What did you say? Yeah. And what I don't like is a smart aleck who will act like they know something and they don't. I mean, we've had that a couple of times here where people come in and they'll act like they believe what we believe, and the next thing you know, they get smart with me and they start trying to, and like, you know, listen, I like somebody who's a Berean, but, you know, what you think you know about the Jews and about the rapture and about the dispensations and about C.I. Schofield and all that, you don't know anything.
Amen.
What you know has been taught by liars.
Yes.
When you, and so, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I understand some preachers get a little defensive because, like I said, we've had people cause trouble and we've had to ask them to leave. But if your attitude is, I want to know the book, and Greg, you said this, what about this? And as a matter of fact, that's one of the things as a pastor that I'd rather see more of that I don't see here. And, you know, if you have a question, that doesn't mean interrupt me while I'm teaching necessarily, but when we have Q&A on Wednesday nights, for example, when we have our open Bible study, we try to get input, you know. And that's the time to ask questions. Now, don't ask about something we're not even talking about, you know. So, you know, we're talking to Romans 1 and say, well, who do you think the Antichrist is, Stephen? You know, that's not a good question for that moment. But we like questions and we want people to be Bereans. And we know that Luke wrote this gospel for several reasons. Number one, and I call it evidence for Lucian authorship. I looked it up and that's what they call it. Lucian. It's not Lucian. That's a different person. Lucian. First of all, it's called the Gospel according to Luke. Amen? Does your Bible say that? Yeah. See, mine says it. Some Bibles will just put Luke. That's kind of a, you know, an indication too. But mine says it's the Gospel according to Luke. Now, if you compare what we read, turn over to Acts 1, 1 to 2. Luke, John, Acts, chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. And by comparing these two passages, you see the similarity. Are you there? Let's read verses 1 and 2. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen." Now, stop there. Now, you can see where both writers in Luke and Acts addressed what man?
Theophilus.
So that's a clear indication that you've got the same author if he's addressing the same person. And he says in Acts, his first three words refer to the former treatise. And that is Luke. The Gospel of Luke is the former treatise. And the book of the Acts of the Apostles is the second book that Luke wrote that we know of. And so then, we don't have time to run all the references, but it's very clear in the book of Acts, that Luke was with Paul. And beginning in Acts 16:10, I think is the verse, but it's Acts 16, and I think it's in verse 10, he begins referring from saying, Paul did this and they did that to we.
Yes. Amen.
And at that point now, Luke is with Paul.
Yes.
And so you can do your own little study on that as you read through Acts. And of course, we'll go through Acts if the Lord tarries. But now you kind of go backwards. You say, okay, well, the book of Acts, the internal evidence tells us it's Luke.
Yep.
And then verses 1 and 2 tell us that it's the same author who wrote Luke.
Yep.
Therefore, we believe that Luke was the author of the gospel according to Luke. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there are other gospels out there. Look what he said. That's my point in verse 1. He says, many have taken in hand. Well, we've only got four.
Yep.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's all kinds of other gospels that were written.
Yeah.
But the reason why they weren't included in the canon, C-A-N-O-N, the canon means the measuring rod, measuring stick of Scripture, and it didn't meet the requirements because, number one, what we just discussed, we have full confidence that we know who the author is, right?
Amen.
Who's the author?
Luke.
But there are other gospels out there that were written by people who claim to be, for example, the Gospel of Thomas.
Yeah.
Now, we know Thomas didn't write that because they're able to trace it. It was actually written after Thomas was dead. Then when you read the content, not only the author is a fake, it's a pseudo-authorship. But the second reason these Gospels were rejected was because when you read them, they're stupid. In the Gospel of Thomas, you've got a kid named Jesus who's making clay birds and then causing them to fly to show off. And then he bumps into some kid and that kid falls down and Jesus kills him. Kills him for bumping into him. That, obviously, that's not the sinless Son of God as a child. And on, I give the examples. That's why there's many gospels out there, and you'll see this all the time. You say, well, you Christians, you're ignorant because you reject so many books. No, you're ignorant because you're too stupid to see you shouldn't be reading those books.
Amen.
We've got 66 books in our Bible. The ignorant Catholics have, 70-some, 79 or something like that, 77? Something like that. And they have books titled things like Bell and the Dragon, B-E-L, and other. And when you read them, you're like, this doesn't belong here, but it's in the Catholic Bible. And then you got the New Agers and all these people. And you know there are people who are actually using these rejected books and rejecting Paul's epistles? There are people out there teaching that Paul was a deceiver and you should reject his books. So what do? You should be at least familiar with this fact so that you're not only you aren't sucked into that nonsense at some point, but you might have somebody in your circle of influence that you can help out of that.
Amen.
Amen. So how many? We don't know, but we do know there are four divinely inspired ones.
Amen.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Amen?
Amen?
Now, he said also in verse 1, those things which are most assuredly believed among us. Now, that's another thing going on today. But this is the purpose of Luke's gospel, is to set out and confirm what is it we believe as Christians. And what do we believe? We believe things like the Trinity. And so in Luke's Gospel, you're going to see times where there are three, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and they are one God. There's other times where you're two. Jesus is on the earth and the Father speaks from heaven. and they are not the same. So we don't believe modalism, as it's called, where Jesus is the Father for a while and becomes the Son for a while. And some of you, if you're not on YouTube and don't spend a lot of time on social media, you may think, well, there's not very many people I know into that stuff. It's a thing. Just trust me, it's a thing. But the oneness Pentecostal and apostolic churches teach modalism. They reject the Trinity. Then you have all the cults like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and others reject the Trinity. The Herbert Armstrong and his son, Garner Ted, and other offshoots of the so-called United or World Church of God, they deny the Trinity. But they also, all those cults go and also deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And they make Jesus a created being. Trinitarians do not believe Jesus is a created being. Jesus is eternal and is the Creator.
Amen.
John 1, 1 and 2. Look it up. So Luke's Gospel could be titled, though, Jesus the Son of Man, because what we're going to see is he makes emphasis on the humanity of Jesus. And that's necessary because, for one good reason, because of the Gnostics. And the Gnostics basically tried to say that Jesus was kind of like a ghost creature or something, and he wasn't actually a man in the physical sense that we understand it, and that he didn't take on flesh, because they have this false idea that flesh itself is sinful. Now, your flesh is sinful, and my flesh is sinful, but flesh is in itself is not sinful. And so when you have God manifest in the flesh, as 1 Timothy 3:16 in your King James Bible says, your NIV, ESV, and other corrupt versions do not say that, but the King James says, God was manifest in the flesh, but he was sinless.
Amen.
And so his flesh was not corrupt. And so Gnosticism now is really seen in large part in some of the New Age cults. And a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, we believe in Jesus, but we believe that he was a mystical creature and that sort of thing. So that was prevalent in Luke's day among the Greeks. And so that's why we have a gospel in John that will emphasize his deity. Whereas in Luke, it's his humanity, the Jesus, the Son of Man. Matthew they have Matthew, I think, is for the Jews, and Mark is toward the Gentile, and that sort of thing. But, and you know, I'm trying to think of how to word that, because in some cases, you see crossover. So don't go read those books and only expect to see that emphasis. But overall, that's the emphasis. So now we go to verse 2. Read that with me. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning... Read it with me now. Everybody there? Luke chapter 1, verse 2. Keep your Bibles open. Okay. All right. Read verse 2 with me. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So that's interesting. I love that way that's phrased. But Luke writes as an historian based upon eyewitness interviews. That's why when you go to the book of Acts, he doesn't say we until Acts 16. Because Luke himself doesn't claim to have seen everything that he gives us in the Gospel of Luke. Now, that's no big deal. I mean, people make a big deal about that and act like, well, Luke probably shouldn't even be in the Bible because he wasn't. That's ridiculous. I mean, some of the best historical works you'll read about anything that's happened in history were written by people who didn't actually see it. And sometimes that's for the best. Because now we know that the authors of Scripture were guided by God, so they avoided human error in that way. But even if you just consider history's of non-inspired nature of human history, the author...